Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question for us or if there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, and we would love to share this edition of Basic Gospel with you. Again, 844-322-2742. And here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It seems like the world today is talking about Laurel or Yanni. did you hear yeah. Laurel? Did you hear Yanni? And we're actually having a little discussion about that as well.
I heard neither.
Andrew heard Laurel. I heard Johnny. But actually, we're going to talk about something much more important on today's broadcast instead of what people are hearing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In 1 Peter chapter 2, this whole week we've talked about Pentecost, the importance of Pentecost, what Pentecost means to you and me. It's one of the most significant days on the church calendar, the Christian calendar. It is the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's a Jewish festival, the Feast of Weeks. What the Jewish people celebrate is a couple of things. One, it's a thankfulness, a time of gratefulness to God for the harvest that they've received. Also, it's gratefulness for the giving of the law. They celebrate the giving of the law. And I think that's significant because for you and me, in this new covenant, we are led by the Spirit. We are no longer under the law, but we are led by the Spirit. So what we're celebrating is the gift of God's Spirit. It's a completely different way to live. And that's why the Pentecost is so vitally important to us. Also, it gives some structure to what God is doing in this world today. And I think we really need to pay attention to what God is doing and how he's doing it. And I think Peter gives us some good insight there. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, as you come to him. So we each come to him individually. And this him that we come to is a living stone that was rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. And it says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So God has formed a house. So often we look at the church building at whatever address it might be, and we say, that's God's house. But that's not true. God's house are the people of God. We are living stones, and when we come to him, we are added to this house, and God lives in us. And he works through us as a holy priesthood, and we are presenting to the world who Jesus is as he works through us. And that's an incredible purpose, and that's what this Pentecost is all about. It's an exciting day, isn't it, guys?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I love this passage, guys, because, you know, it also, as you mentioned, it talks about Jesus being this cornerstone. And, you know, we're doing a lot of construction right now at our church building here in West Texas. And, you know, one of the things we've done over the years is lay a lot of tile. And when you're laying tile, as you know, if you don't get that first tile right, if it's not placed rightly, then everything else on that floor is going to end up wrong. Well, you know, that's sort of the image we're getting here. Jesus is the cornerstone of this building known as the church. And if we were to try to lay a different foundation or try a different stone as that cornerstone, then nothing else would line up. So that's why we here at Basic Gospel, when we talk about forgiveness, you know, we're not talking about our imagination regarding forgiveness. We're not talking about our emotions regarding forgiveness. When we talk about God's forgiveness, we put Jesus Christ front and center. And we say he's the cornerstone of what we believe about forgiveness. when we talk about freedom from the law and living under grace. You know, we don't want to go with our gut feeling. We don't want to go with our human intuition. We want to go with Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. And according to what the scriptures tell us, you know, we're free from the law, we're dead to the law, we're not under the law, and that is because Jesus is our foundation. He'll never lead us to sin. He's trustworthy, and the whole building can be built on him. And lastly, you know, we emphasize identity around here a whole lot. It's identity in Christ, an identity built on Jesus as the foundation. So in this simple word, this cornerstone expression, my goodness, you can think about how everything we say and everything we believe needs to be built right on Jesus Christ and nothing else.
Yeah, good words, Andrew. And we certainly invite you to join us on today's broadcast at 844-322-2742. We have open lines right now. If you want to talk about Pentecost, if you have particular issues that we can help you with, point you to the Word of God, we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742.
Please remember also, friends, that Basic Gospel is listener supported. We want to offer you the opportunity to partner with us. We want to continue to get this message out to as many people as possible and every means possible, by every means possible. So you can donate online at basicgospel.net or by calling 844-322-2742. And with your gift this month, you're going to receive our new 2-CD series called It Is Finished, 5 messages that literally drive home the truth that in Christ forgiveness is accomplished, now and forever. That's good news. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And as Bob said, that same number is available right now if you'd like to call and be a part of this live edition of Basic Gospel. We had this call that came in overnight.
Hi, I just had a question on the saved at the end of time when we're in heaven with the Lord. Will your loved ones and family, people you knew here on this earth, will you know and remember, you know, the ones who weren't saved? I guess you will when we get there, we'll know, I guess. But that's always wondered, you know, how much of your memory you would be able to keep. And say, you know, you had close friends that weren't saved. Would you be able to remember that? Because there will be no tears in heaven. Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
Well, we certainly appreciate that call. You know, as far as those who are going to be in heaven, those who are going to be with the Lord, we're certainly going to be able to recognize one another and interact with one another. Why? Because we're all part of the same family. We're all part of God's people. Just as folks recognize Jesus and his resurrected body, we're going to be able to recognize one another, and we're going to rejoice over that. Now, as far as remembering those who aren't there that we encountered here on earth, I don't know that the Word of God says much about that. Andrew, Richard, what are your thoughts?
Well, Revelation 21 seems to hint that it's not going to be an issue because he's wiping every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. I mean, he is going to recreate heaven and earth. And all of us who are saved are going to be recreated in place, right? We get new bodies because flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom. I sincerely doubt that we'll be wandering around going, well, I wonder what happened to Aunt Susie.
Right.
It's just not going to be an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, you think about, as you said, Bob, this event where Jesus raised from the dead and, you know, people are recognizing him, but not at first. They say, hey, wait, is this the gardener? And then they figure out, no, this is Jesus. But they never said, you know, is this an alien or is this an octopus? I mean, he had two arms, two legs, a head. He was very much a resurrected human body, and, you know, fully God, fully human, but that body was recognizable. And so, you know, Richard, as you said, you know, new heaven, new earth. I love thinking about that. New heaven, new earth, new resurrection body, but all very familiar. In other words, not weird, not uncomfortable, not bizarre. You know, I've met Christians who are actually scared They're scared of heaven. They're scared of eternity. They're scared of it being weird. They're scared of it being an eternal church service that is dry and boring. You know, we have these sort of images of what eternity is going to be. But we have to remember, I mean, this is going to be the desire of our heart. There's not going to be any downside. It's going to be incredible. I also believe in many ways it's going to be familiar to us. It's going to feel like home. It's going to be fun. I mean, we're talking about being with the Lord forever, and we're talking about, you know, God, who is just crazy over us. He thinks we're incredible. He thinks we're awesome. He loves us to death, and He's just showered us with his grace already. So I don't even have the imagination to posit what in the world it's going to be like. But I do know that awesome is a pretty fitting word there.
Yes, it is. And we certainly get a small taste of that here and now, just within the body of Christ, when we gather together as believers, when we have that fellowship one with another, or enjoy that fellowship that we have with one another, I think we're getting a taste of what we're going to experience, but in a much more majestic way. So we certainly appreciate that question. It's a good one to think about.
Absolutely. And Richard, I agree with you. I don't want to be walking around heaven wondering if my back's going to go out any minute now. So
yeah,
that's an issue. 844-322-2742. That's the number to call. And we want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. Bob, we have a call there?
Yes, we do. We're going to go to Mary Jo in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Mary Jo. Welcome.
Hi. I kind of have a slight problem. I tried sharing the Lord with the guy when I was paying my bill, and I didn't do a very good job, so I'd like just to say, Andrew, I hope you give Basic Gospel a try, and don't knock it till you try it. And it's more than just getting your sins forgiven, it's life.
Mm. Yeah. Well, wherever Andrew is right now, I'm sure that, if he gets a chance to hear that'll be an invitation that he'll certainly ponder, Mary Jo. And, you know, that's why we're here. I mean, we're here offering what we believe is the best message on the planet, that our sins are forgiven, our sins are forgotten, that we're free from the law, totally accepted and embraced. When we are in Jesus Christ, we become new at the core. And there's so much to celebrate. And as I said earlier, guys, you know, heaven has no downside. You know, besides your back there, Bob, I don't think that life in Christ really has a downside either.
No.
On planet Earth. It's pretty incredible to be this loved, this forgiven, this accepted. And, you know, it seems like a lot of Christians, we sort of water down the message, or we've missed some of it over the years. So, you know, that's what Basic Gospel's about. We're peeling away the layers of lifeless religion and getting back to the core of this Basic Gospel. And Mary Jo, it's always great to hear from you, and we love you. And we're so glad that you have that excitement about the Lord and that you're sharing with people.
Right. And Mary Jo, just remember this. It's not on your shoulders. God didn't put it on your shoulders. He didn't burden you with that responsibility to have to save someone. That's his job. And so you've made yourself available. You've allowed God to use your voice. You've put what you knew to say out there. Now just leave the results of that in God's hands. Rejoice that you had that opportunity. Don't try to judge yourself whether you did bad or whether you did good. Just say, hey, thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. I'm going to entrust that into your hands and rejoice with whatever happens. And if I can be available again to speak to this person, then, you know, let that happen. I want to be available. So take that responsibility off your shoulders. Recognize that it's only Jesus that can enable a person to cross over from death to life. It's only Jesus that can make a person alive together with him. It's only Jesus who can save. So just step back and rejoice that you had that opportunity and leave the results of that in God's hands.
I love that attitude, Bob. And, you know, for all of us out there who have ever shared Christ with someone or delivered a sermon or taught a Bible study or sat on the subway with somebody sharing from our heart, you know, how many times have we gone away from events like that and rehearsed, you know, re-rehearsed things in our minds or replayed things and said, gosh, I really blew it, or I didn't do a good job, or, you know, we judge things, and then lo and behold, we find out later, you know, somebody comes up to us, that meant the world to me, the Lord really used you, and we're acting like, are you kidding me? The Lord used that? And so we're so into trying to evaluate and judge and estimate what the Lord's doing. But, you know, I'm reminded of Paul, guys. I mean, Paul, he was not known for his eloquent speech. He was known for trusting and resting in the resurrection power of Christ. And sometimes he said he would come to people not with eloquent words on purpose, so that they wouldn't put their confidence in slick talk and great speech, but instead in the meaning of those words. So, Mary Jo, whether you got a chance to say 5 words about Jesus or 50 words about Jesus, and for all of us out there who enjoy talking about the Lord, we got to speak from the heart. And as you said, Bob, you know, there's no sense in judging it, because the Lord does stuff that we're not even aware of.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, of course, Andrew Farley is joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me, and we're glad that you're with us today, friends. We still have time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. Friends, I want to remind you that we have a wonderful, a fabulous trip coming up, a tour of Israel and Jordan next year, early next year, May and June, as a matter of fact. And we want you to get all the information. Just go to basicgospel.net, click that banner at the top of the page, and it's going to be a fabulous trip. We want you to be a part of it. Well, guys, in the meantime, a Facebook question from Cheryl. She says, Bob, I am a little confused. I thought that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me, when he and God the Father were indeed separated, because God could not look at the sin Jesus bore for us. I thought that separation was the ultimate payment for our sins. That's why what I've been taught by other Bible teachers. Is that a false doctrine? That's from Cheryl, who wrote to us, as I said, through Facebook.
Well, he died, and he certainly cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But we know that God the Father raised him from the dead. And we know that Jesus, after he said that, and after he said, it is finished, and after he said, into your hands I commend my spirit, that is still Jesus Christ entrusting himself to the Father. So in that human flesh, he certainly felt a million miles away from his Father. But in spite of that, he still entrusted himself to his Father. And we know that the Father was going to raise him from the dead. That was the joy that was set before Jesus Christ, and in that resurrection, that he was going to call many unto himself. And that's where we fit into the story. But, you know, there's a lot that we project into that statement that, you know, the Bible doesn't fully explain. We have to speculate what happened to Jesus at the moment of death. You know, there are people that say he was in hell, that he went and had to beat Satan up in his home turf to truly win redemption for us. There's all kinds of speculation out there. So What happened? We don't know, other than the fact that Jesus said that. We know that was a finger pointing back to Psalm 22, where crucifixion was described, what was going to happen. We see the tenderness of the Father in Psalm 22, caring and tending for him. What all happened, we don't know. Andrew, do you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, he became sin. Jesus became sin. So, you know, people try to spin this all kinds of ways, as you've mentioned, Bob. And then one of the things they land on is, all this is, you know, what you're saying is, you know, if Jesus was separated from the Father, then that's child abuse, and the Father's abusing the Son, and they're not on the same page, and all that stuff. Well, I mean, really what we're saying is that Jesus became sin in that moment. He became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. And, you know, he also told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. So there's a few crazy ideas going on out there in the Christian world. I know that's a shock to us that there's crazy ideas out there, but there are. I mean, number one, as you mentioned, they say, well, he had to go to hell to properly pay for our sins, redeem us, buy us back, reconcile us. No, it's the blood of Jesus that does that, not a trip to hell. And then, you know, they say, well, you know, he had to be out of fellowship with God, or, you know, separated from God in order to pay. Well, no, the payment was blood. It's a blood sacrifice, a blood payment. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So that's what we need to bank on. That's what we need to rest in. It's the blood of Christ. This other stuff, as you mentioned, is speculation, nothing else. So, you know, we ultimately then have to say, well, then are they on the same page? Well, of course they are. Why did God allow Jesus to feel that? Because Jesus was bearing the sin of the world. He became sin. So sin and God don't fit. But God was not rejecting his own child. He wasn't rejecting Jesus. He was rejecting sin. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, we're speculating because Jesus was fully God, fully man, having all the human emotions, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, totally rejected by the whole world, blood all over him, experiencing all kinds of emotions and feelings. I don't think we need to build a doctrine out of that. We just need to build a doctrine out of the blood of Jesus and the resurrection. That's where our hope lies.
Yes.
Yeah. This to me is one of those situations where you look at it and you say, okay, all of you who are speculating, do you know how your automobile works? Most of us don't. Really, we don't. We know enough to stick a key in the ignition or push a button, turn it on, put it in drive, and drive. Well, we don't have to know exactly what happened to Jesus. We know it happened. We know it was completely sufficient, and we know because of Pentecost that I'm now alive in him. Drive.
Yeah,
just
enjoy,
drive.
Enjoy this new life. So one last comment on this. I think we do good to stick, as far as these matters are concerned, stick with what the Word of God has to say. Mm-hmm. So he who knew no sin became sin.
Yeah.
That's what the Word of God says. We see it, and I think if we'll just stick with that, and let that truth penetrate and do inside of us what it's supposed to, we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah. Well, quickly, a question from our pastor friend Corey. Don't know that we've necessarily heard of this before, but we'll pose the question. He says, what do you think about the Seven Mountain Mandate movement? To me, it is a heretical teaching with twisted scripture references. I have several Bible references that simply discount what the entire mandate viewpoint is about. Could you elaborate?
Well, it is kind of a new, you know, a new mandate. It's a group of Christians. They're loosely associated. There's really not a hierarchy or a direct organization, but they are trying to move out, and take over, you know, all of the various aspects of human life, the arts, the politics, all of these various things, and they're trying to take that back for God to try to usher in his kingdom. And I think that goes beyond what our mandate as Christians are. And that mandate is to simply testify to the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one that's building the church. It's his kingdom. We're tasked with a simple duty, and that is to be ministers of this new covenant, share the life of Christ with as many people as possible, be ministers of reconciliation, go out into the world and tell people that God has reconciled them to himself in Christ. He's not counting their sins against them. Go out into the world and to tell them about this grace of God that's available in Jesus Christ. That's our mandate. as believers.
And that is good news. And friends, I want to remind you that to grow in your life in Christ, there's a vital understanding you must have, and that is that all your sins have been forgiven. At Basic Gospel, that's a primary focus. And to help you come to a full understanding of your forgiveness, we have an excellent new resource called It Is Finished. When you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we'll send you this 5-message 2-CD set. You can donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Help us, friends. Keep this good news coming and share It Is Finished with your family and friends. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Remember, that same number is available overnight if you have a question. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for our study in Hebrews. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.